Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
Here's what happened in sports jersey history on February 3rd. A blockbuster deal for Crew goes down. The Iceman cometh in the All-Star game, and a dramatic 600th goal milestone is reached on the ice. Listen in on more about sports history from me, along with the uniforms and jerseys the players wore, all coming up in just a moment. My name's Darren Hayes, and I know you've heard me on the Pigskin Dispatch talking about football history for years. Well, now I'm on a new mission, a quest to find sports history in other sports, as well as football, by learning through the jerseys and the apparel and the gear that the players wore and the franchises supplied their teams. It's an educational trip, and I'm taking you with me day by day, player by player, uniform by uniform, the Sports Jersey Dispatch.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my sports history friends. This is Darren Hayes of sportsjerseydispatch.com, and welcome once again to the Pigpen, where we're going to talk about some great history through the game's uniforms of the players that they wore. And some great history is made for February 3rd. And it starts back on February 3rd, 1942. And it might sound odd to us today, but on that day, baseball owners agreed to permit each club to play up to 14 night games during the 1942 season. Very odd indeed, because now most of the games are played at night and very few are played during the day, the majority at night, but not a whole lot of lit fields back then. February 3rd, 1976, at the NBA's 26th edition of the All-Star Game played at the Old Spectrum in Philadelphia, the East squad defeated their Western counterparts 123-109, and the game's most valuable player was point guard Dave Bing of the Washington Bullets, who were number 21 that season for his team. Now, Bing was a 1966-1967 season's Rookie of the Year. He also was a seven-time All-Star, and he made it to the All-NBA status three different times. February 3rd, 1979, the Minnesota Twins and California Angels pulled off a major trade in this day. The Twins sent star ball player Rod Carew to the Halos for four players in this blockbuster deal. Now, Carew, who wore number 29 for his entire career in the MLB, he was a Major League MVP, Rookie of the Year in 1967, and made it to the play on the All-Star game in an amazing 17 different seasons. The Hall of Fame infielder held a .328 batting average and stole 353 bases during his whole career. Now, February 3rd, 1980, the 30th NBA All-Star Game, which was played at the Capitol Center in Landover, Maryland. The team from the East defeated the Western team 144-136 in an overtime thriller. The game's most valuable player was George Gervin, who played for the San Antonio Spurs that season as a strong forward and wore the number 44. The Iceman was the NBA's four-time scoring champion and earned a spot on 12 different All-Star squads. He was also a two-time All-ABA player and a seven-time All-NBA player. Now, February 3rd, 1991, the NFL Pro Bowl MVP was quarterback Jim Kelly of the Buffalo Bills, who wore number 12. And you can learn more about that great Pro Bowl win with Jim Kelly, as well as some of these other football stories that we're going to talk about over on pigskindispatch.com for the February 3rd football history headlines. We won't go into a lot of detail here, but we're going to mention those by player number. February 3rd, 1998, Florida Panther Dino Cicerelli, who sported the number 22, became the ninth NHL player to score 600 career goals during his illustrious career. He did it in dramatic fashion, too, in this game, as a right winger slapped home the game-tying goal late in the third to help the Panthers earn a 1-1 tie with the Detroit Red Wings. February 3rd, 2002, old number 12 Tom Brady wins Super Bowl 36's Most Valuable Player Award as he leads the Patriots to a stunning 20-17 win over the Rams. February 3rd, 2008, Eli Manning, number 10, takes home the MVP honors in Super Bowl 42 as the New York Giants upset the Patriots' bid for an undefeated season 20-17. February 3rd, 2013, at Super Bowl 47, Joe Flacco, who wore number 5, became the game MVP as his Baltimore Ravens knocked off the 49ers 34-31 to win the Brother Bowl that year. Remember, both coaches were Harbaugh brothers. February 3rd, 2019, at Super Bowl 53, the New England Patriots beat the Los Angeles Rams 13-3 as wide receiver Julian Edelman, number 11, was selected as that game's MVP. And again, all those NFL Super Bowls, those all four of those Super Bowls, you can see much, much more about it. PigskinDispatch.com, February 3rd, football history headlines. Make sure you check that out and a subsequent podcast that goes with that over on the other side. And now I want to just take a moment to hear something from one of my friends for our Sports Jersey Dispatch take of the day.
Hello, sports fans. My name is Mark Mortier. I grew up in northern New Jersey, just across the river from New York City. The name of my podcast is Yesterday Sports. Although a good majority of my podcasts are about football, I try to mix in other sports as well. Most of my podcasts are about sports in the 1970s, since that's the era I grew up in. I normally have one podcast a week, usually on Tuesday. Although occasionally I do have to skip a week depending on how busy my work schedule is. You can find me on Facebook by typing in Yesterday Sports at Sports History Network. I also have 3 books available on Amazon. My first book is titled No Nonsense Old School Weight Training. It's basically a guide for people that have limited time to train. My second book is titled Running Wild, which is about what it was like growing up in the 1970s. And my third book is titled Reliving 1970s Old School Football. It's a book about what it was like not only to play football in the 1970s, but also about watching football on television. Mainly NFL football. Today we're going to talk about my favorite baseball jersey number. Growing up a Yankees fan, I have to go with the number 15. That was the number worn by the Yankees captain, Thurman Munson. Granted, there were other catchers during that era like Johnny Bench and Carlton Fisk that may have had more talent. But no one played harder than Munson. If you look up the word gritty in Webster's dictionary, you might find a picture of Thurman Munson. Under the leadership of Munson, the Yankees won 3 American League pennants and 2 World Series. His career statistics are not likely to get him voted into the Hall of Fame, but few players came through in postseason play the way Munson did. His batting average in the postseason was .357, and his average in the World Series was an incredible .373. The 1976 American League MVP died tragically in a plane crash in 1979 at only 32 years old, leaving behind a wife and 2 children. A sad day for baseball fans everywhere. If you're a Yankees fan, or you're just interested in learning more about them, I have several podcasts and articles on the Sports History Network about the Yankees. Thank you to Darren Hayes and to Arnie Chapman for the opportunity, and I hope you will continue to tune in to all the great podcasts we have here on the Sports History Network. Hope you enjoyed it. Thank you, and God bless.
Hey, thanks for sharing that story on Thurman Munson, Mark. We really appreciate that. Make sure you check out Mark's podcast, Yesterday Sports, on Sports History Network. He does a great job talking about a variety of different sports, especially that of the New York area. And some of his most interesting ones are some of those sports. He was quite the weightlifter himself, and you can learn a lot about that sport as well as many other from Mark and his great insight that he has. So make sure you enjoy that Yesterday Sports. I also want to thank today our music selections were by Jason Neff, the tune you hear in the background right now and one you're going to hear in a moment at the end credits, and also Gene and Mike Monroe for that great reggae themed tune in the beginning of the podcast for our intro music. We thank them for that. Also, we couldn't have done this without some great providers of information, newspapers.com, onthisday.com, the sports reference pages of Pro Football Reference, Hockey Reference, Baseball Reference, and Basketball Reference. We thank them, too, for all the great information that they provide to the world and the game of sports and information. It's just tremendous. Also want to thank the Sports History Network for helping us to keep this podcast going, and to our sponsors that you hear at the commercials at the beginning, end, and some in the middle here. So we appreciate their support and your support for listening and coming to us each and every day. We greatly support that. We would love to have your feedback. pigskindispatch@gmail.com and get on our email list to get our daily newsletter so you know what's going on in the world of sports from the Pigskin Dispatch and Sports Jersey Dispatch. Until tomorrow, everybody, have a great Sports History Day. Sorry, but my pitching coach just called timeout, and he's coming out to the mound. I think I'm going to get yanked for a reliever. We'll see you back tomorrow for some more great sports history on Sports Jersey Dispatch Podcast. We invite you to check out our websites, jerseydispatch.com and pigskindispatch.com, not only see the daily sports history, but to experience the preservation of great events and people that play the games. Find us on Pigskin Dispatch. It's also on social media outlets of Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel. Get all your daily sports history. Pigskin Dispatch is happy to be associated with the Sports History Network, the sports headquarters of yesteryear, found at sportshistorynetwork.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Each week, the official Football Learning Academy podcast will take you deep into the history of pro football through interviews with players, coaches, or administrators in the NFL, as well as interviews with Pro Football Hall of Fame selectors, authors, and historians. You'll learn how the game evolved and important moments that shaped the sport into what it is today. And don't miss the Pro Football History Nugget of the Week. Listen to the official Football Learning Academy podcast on the Sports History Network.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.